Hello and welcome to On the Corner, the official podcast, pitchlist.com. I'm your host, Eric Samulski, and I'm joined today, sadly, by nobody. As you know from his Twitter post, Nick Pollock is on the, I guess it's the 60-day IL with an Achilles tendon injury. He is laid up right now, cannot walk, cannot really move around, but we wanted to make sure that you got your content out there. Nick put out an SP roundup this morning, so he's still working. He went and updated the start sit document, which we know that anybody who's a PL Pro subscriber does have access to. And so we're going to use that, and I'm going to go over the starting pitching matchups for the remainder of this weekend. And then Nick will be back next week when we record. He's told me he's going to be back. We are going to make sure that we go over those starting pitcher matchups prior to Friday. As a reminder, obviously, with the All-Star break coming up, there are no games Monday through Thursday. And so Friday will be when games come back on, and we'll make sure we have a podcast before that. Just as a note ahead of time, if you're in head-to-head leagues, oftentimes, obviously, your head-to-head matchups will go 2 weeks to include what is happening over this break. And so maybe you won't run waivers, or even if you do run waivers, you're going to keep your streaming starting pitchers and things of that nature. If you're in an NFBC format and things like that, this is a reminder that this weekend on Sunday, you should really check the rotations. They will sometimes update who is set to pitch next week. If you have a streaming starting pitcher and that pitcher is not set to start on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, this is a good time to get that, you know, really strong reliever like an Adrian Morahone on the Padres, Jeff Hoffman, who's pitching a lot better on the Blue Jays, pitchers like that who are likely going to pitch in at least one or two games in that short three-game week. This is the Sunday to make sure you're getting those waiver priority pickups in. And last thing before we get in there, just a note that these teams will change around their rotations during the All-Star break. So we may think we know who's going to start Friday or Saturday or Sunday, but we won't really know that for sure until we get closer to the end of the All-Star break, which is why I'm not going to mention those pitchers right now. Okay. We're going to start with the AL in the AL East. We've got Baltimore, who has a three-game series against the Royals this weekend. It's going to be Brandon Young, Kyle Bradish, Shane Baz. The Royals' offense is struggling a little bit right now. They should get Vinny Pasquantino back this weekend, and that'll be a nice little boost to them. But again, coming off a hamate bone injury, we don't know what Pasquantino is going to be like right off the IL. So I could see if you wanted to start Brandon Young and Shane Baz. Nick has them as questionable starts. I'm more apt to start Shane Baz. I understand that Brandon Young's stats have been a little bit better, but we've talked about this a lot on the show. I'm not a full believer in what Brandon Young does, and so he's not somebody I'd be looking to start outside of 15-team leagues. And Kyle Bradish is somebody you're firing up because, you know, he has his issues with command, but he has pitched better of late, and we know the Royals are an offense susceptible to, you know, not get, you know, to a pitcher putting up really strong outings against them. So I like Bradish in that start. The Red Sox get three games at the Mets. It's Sonny Gray. It's a starting pitcher to be announced, and it's Peyton Tolley. We know Ranger Suarez is now on the IL. I think it's going to be Brian Bayo on Saturday. Bayo has a 4.34 ERA and 18 2/3 innings at AAA in four starts. He's striking out batters a little bit more than he did in the big leagues, but it's not like he's gone down to AAA and dominated. So I don't really think that Brian Bayo is somebody you need to stream. Now, if you're in a really deep 15-teamer or an AO-only format, the Mets offense has still been struggling, and so Bayo could be a streaming option for you. I would just really limit that to deeper formats, and you know you're going to start Sonny Gray and Peyton Tolley against the Mets this weekend. The Yankees, they have three at Washington: Ryan Weathers, Cam Schlittler, Will Warren. We have talked on the show about how the Nationals are really good against left-handed pitching, and so that makes me really hesitant to start Ryan Weathers unless you're in a deeper format. His form hasn't been great of late, and he's getting Washington. Cam Schlittler, obviously not a question. Will Warren, Nick has him as a probable start. The last start wasn't really good for Warren. The results over the last month have been a little bit inconsistent. I'm not ready to say definitely don't start Will Warren, but if you're in a shallower 12-team league, or if you don't really need this start right Sunday, if you can make a change on Sunday and you're doing pretty well in your head-to-heads, then I don't think I would really go ahead and start Will Warren. And I understand people wanting to think about cutting Will Warren. I don't really think that you need to cut Will Warren right now, but if like you know, Griffin Jackson is still floating out there on your waiver wire because he's only rostered in like 57% of leagues right now. I think that somebody like Will Warren could be cut for a pitcher like that. If you have Logan Henderson, right? Logan Henderson is coming off the IL this week. If he's floating around on your waiver wire, I think cutting somebody like Will Warren to add Logan Henderson is something that I would consider doing. The Rays get three at home against Seattle. That's Nick Martinez, Griffin Jackson, Ian Seymour. Griffin Jackson now is in borderline must-start territory, but Griffin Jackson has looked really good. I think you have to start him here. I'm starting Ian Seymour. Nick has him as a questionable start. I like Ian Seymour. I think he's pitching really well. We know the last outing was particularly good for him. He did tire a little bit in the sixth, and so the Yankees put up a few runs on him, but he looked really good. Yes, the changeup is still not looking as great as it did last year. That has that little minor bit of concern for me, but I think Seymour warrants being started, and I think he really warrants being added in all 15-team leagues and the vast majority of 12-team leagues with the way he's looked right now. He's floating out there in too many leagues. The Blue Jays, they are at the San Diego Padres. It's Shane Bieber, Treya Savage, and Kevin Gausman. I cannot start Shane Bieber. I can't tell you to start Shane Bieber. I don't think he's healthy. He doesn't look good right now. Sure, if you're in like a really deep 15-team league or an AL only and you want to hold him on your bench in the hopes that he starts to pitch his way into good form, I get that. I'd rather not. I just don't think that he's a healthy starting pitcher right now. Treya Savage, I would start him against the Padres. We've talked about this on the show before. His issues are command, and those command issues could, you know, pop up again this weekend. But I think that it's a decent matchup against the Padres. And Kevin Gausman is somebody I'd certainly be starting. I know the last outing, again, wasn't great for him, but Gausman is somebody you'd have to be in like a real shallow 12-team league or on have a strict innings limit in your league to bench him. Moving to the White Sox, they have three at home against the Athletics. Important that it is not in Sacramento. It's Sean Burke, Eric Fetty, Noah Schultz. Sean Burke, you're starting with the Athletics on the road. Sean Burke has looked pretty good of late. Noah Schultz did not have a great outing against the Red Sox. We did talk about how the Red Sox are a much better offense against left-handed pitching. They're top 10 in the vast majority of offensive categories. And so we did not expect Noah Schultz to have a great outing. He didn't have a great outing. If you wanted to roll him out there against the Athletics, I think it's a softer landing spot. Tyler Soderstrom is back. So that makes the lineup a little bit better than it was when he was out. I would not be using Eric Fetty here if I didn't have to. The Guardians, three at Miami, the surging Miami Marlins. The Marlins offense is not an offense that it's an auto start against right now. And I'm not sure as many people know that they're, you know, producing much better since June than they were before that. And so somebody like Tanner Bibee, who starts on Saturday, it makes me a little uncomfortable to start Tanner Bibee. If you're in a deeper format, you might have to. If you're in a shallower format, you know, Nick and I have not been super high on him this year. It's just you never really know what you're going to get. And so that is a little bit problematic. Parker Messick obviously is a must start. And Joey Cantillo, with the way he's pitching right now, I think you got to roll him out there on Sunday as well. The Detroit Tigers get three against Philadelphia this weekend. It's Jack Flaherty, Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal. Tarek Skubal, obviously an auto start. You can't really bench Casey Mize with the way he's pitching right now. Last week, we talked about how I'm coming around on him because of the performance of his slider. And Nick has him as a probable start. So Casey Mize, you should feel comfortable with. Nick has Jack Flaherty as a do not start. And I will just say Jack Flaherty has pitched better in his two starts since coming off the injured list. And we talked about how the four-seam fastball velocity is a little bit up and the breaking balls are spotted well at the bottom of the zone. And when Jack Flaherty does that, he can pitch well against pretty much any offense. But we also know that Jack Flaherty can do that for a string of starts and then just not do it in the next start. And so that adds some risk for him. If you're in a 15-team league, I could see if you wanted to take that risk. I would prefer to not take that risk against an offense like the Phillies, even though Flaherty has had a good run of production of late. The Royals get three at Baltimore. It's Lunder, Avila, Noah Cameron, Seth Lugo. Nick has them all as do not starts. I think if you're in a 15-team league, maybe you could talk yourself into starting Seth Lugo, because this Baltimore offense really hasn't been particularly good. And so I'm not running from them. But, you know, Cameron and Avila, their form isn't something that I want to back, even though that Avila sometimes has some really good starts and I see people want to pick him up. I'd be trying to avoid all three of these if possible. The Twins have three against the Angels this weekend. Zebby Matthews, Joe Ryan, Taj Bradley. Joe Ryan, auto start. Nick has Taj Bradley as a questionable start. I get that, like, you can't really bench Taj Bradley right now with the way he's pitching against the Angels. I think the questionable start is because we've just seen enough of this in Taj Bradley's career where he has these really dominant 6, 7, 8 start stretches. And then all of a sudden, you know, the command goes. And that's not the command like, hey, he walks 7 guys. It's just that he's not spotting pitches in the zone as well as he was previously. And then he gets hit around a little bit. So the questionable start component of this is that you just never really know what you're going to get from Bradley, but I do not think that you can bench him here. I'd prefer not to start Zebby Matthews in a shallower format, but you know, the matchup isn't, brutal. The Angels do have Mike Trout back. And so that makes their lineup a little bit deeper. So I'd prefer not to start Zebby Matthews if I didn't have to. Moving on to the AL West, the Athletics. They have 3 at the White Sox. It's Aaron Civale, Gage Jump, JT Ginn. The White Sox should get Munetaka Murakak. He's potentially coming back on Friday. So that is something to keep an eye on. He will make their lineup a little bit deeper. I'm not trusting Aaron Civale in that start on Friday. I think that Gage Jump is pitching well enough that I'm willing to roll him back out there. You know, some bad starts in Sacramento, bad starts against the Dodgers. Those are things we should be expecting. The White Sox offense has been slumping a little bit since their torrid pace early in the season. And so I'm okay using Gage Jump. And Nick has JT Ginn as a do not start. I would put him more as a questionable start since it's on the road. I don't love it, but if you're in a 15-team league, I could see using him against the White Sox. There's a chance for a win. I don't think that he's going to get, you know, run out of the yard. He's not going to put up a real dud, but I don't know that you're going to get a great outing. Maybe if you're in a quality start league, you might get a little bit more out of JT Ginn there. Houston, they have 3 at Texas. It's Hunter Brown, Peter Lambert, Christian Javier. You do not start Christian Javier. He was not supposed to be in the rotation. He was supposed to be in the bullpen. Then they're back in the rotation because the rotation hasn't been particularly good. I'm just not trusting him. Peter Lambert has pitched well enough that at Texas, I think you kind of got to keep rolling him back out there. I'm not expecting a dominant outing, but I think you should get a pretty good outing. And Hunter Brown at Texas, you're going to use Hunter Brown in that setting. Angels at Minnesota. It's Grayson Rodriguez, Ryan Johnson, Jose Soriano. I can't trust Grayson Rodriguez. I don't really care how good his minor league starts have been right now. I need to see it for multiple outings at the major league level before I can trust him again. And so I'm not going to do this at Minnesota. Ryan Johnson, I also can't trust at Minnesota. And Jose Soriano, you know, we know that Jose Soriano has become kind of the version of Jose Soriano we've seen in previous years, but that's still a good enough pitcher that I would use him at Minnesota. There's a little bit of risk here because if he doesn't spot those four-seam fastballs, Minnesota is a team that does love to pull and lift the ball, and they're going to try to yank the ball out of the yard. And so that could be a minor issue for Soriano, but I would still use him there. Seattle has 3 at Tampa Bay. It's Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, Emerson Hancock. You're definitely starting Logan Gilbert. I would still probably be starting Emerson Hancock, even though the run of form from him hasn't been as good as it was at the start of the season. We talked a lot on previous episodes of this about how, you know, the vertical break on the four-seam fastball that he was getting is no longer there. He's leaning into the sinker more, trying to get more ground balls. And listen, the Rays are a contact-heavy team. They may oblige by putting the bat on the ball and getting some ground balls. And so that could be a boon to Emerson Hancock. And in 15-team leagues, if you want to start Luis Castillo, that's fine. He's still just not a pitcher I'm really trusting. And in shallower formats, I would rather avoid that against a team like Tampa Bay that's not going to chase outside of the zone. It's going to make him work. They're going to put the bat on the ball. And I think that could just be an annoying outing if you had Luis Castillo. Texas has 3 against Houston. It's Cal Quantrill, Kumar Rocker, Jacob DeGrom. You're obviously starting Jacob DeGrom. I would not start Cal Quantrill or Kumar Rocker. Rocker is going to get a little bit of a benefit because the Astros don't have a ton of really good left-handed hitters. Rocker will struggle against lefties, but I don't love that outing. I'm not starting Cal Quantrill. We should note, it looks like Jordan Montgomery is probably 2 rehab starts away from potentially being back. That's not like, hey, you have to go ahead and stash Jordan Montgomery, but just a name to consider. If you're in deeper formats, now could be the time to stash Jordan Montgomery in like a deep AL only league. Otherwise, I'm just waiting to see how he looks when he comes back up. But with the injuries that Texas has right now, if Cal Quantrill is the only obstacle to Jordan Montgomery being in the rotation, then I think there's a chance that Jordan Montgomery is making starts for the Rangers at the end of July or the beginning of August. So that is something to keep in mind. And we are going to move to the NL, but we are going to do that after this break. Moving on to the NL. In the NL East, the Braves have three at St. Louis. It's Chris Sale, Reynaldo Lopez, Hurston Waldrop. Auto starting Chris Sale. I know that Nick has Reynaldo Lopez as a do not start. I'm a little bit more comfortable with it than Nick is. I think that Reynaldo Lopez in his last couple starts has looked good enough that, you know, this Cardinals offense that was an offense that was surprising early on in the season hasn't performed quite as well as we, you know, expected quite as well over the last few weeks. Reynaldo Lopez has gone at least five innings in his last two starts. He was up to 80 pitches against the Mets. I think that's important because that's far more likely to get him five innings here. He went five innings against St. Louis on July 1st and just 69 pitches, gave up two hits, struck out six. We've talked about this over the years on this podcast too, that seeing a team multiple times is not detrimental for the pitcher. And so I would still run Reynaldo Lopez out there. I think you might just get five innings, but it's a chance that you're getting a win. And, you know, he's been pitching well enough of late that I don't think you're getting a terrible performance out of him. I'm not comfortable with Hurston Waldrop. And this is another team where, like, now could be the time to stash AJ Smith-Shawver. Smith-Shawver is going to start over the weekend at AAA. He probably needs two rehab starts at AAA, and then he's back. So you're looking at maybe two more weeks before AJ Smith-Shawver is back. But I think that Smith-Shawver takes that spot from Hurston Waldrop. Again, Smith-Shawver is not, he is a kind of an intriguing name because he has some prospect shine to him, but he's not somebody that you have to have. So I don't think you have to stash AJ Smith-Shawver, but if you're struggling for starting pitching or you're in a 15-team league, now could be the time to do it. I think he's going to come back and get a shot in that rotation and be a decent streaming option for us going forward. The Marlins get three against the Guardians. That's Sandy Alcantara, Yuri Perez, Max Meyer. I think you're starting all of them. There's not really too much to say about it. Yuri Perez's last outing we know was a really good outing. We know what he's capable of. Sandy Alcantara has settled into what I believe is a pretty solid, you know, SP3, SP4 on your team. And I think there's some upside for more. Max Meyer looks great. So you're just not going to bench them right now. Mets get three home against Boston. It's Nolan McClain, Freddie Peralta, Kodai Senga. We've talked about how the Boston offense is better against lefties. None of those guys are lefties. We also had Wilson Contreras foul a ball off his foot on Wednesday. He's not playing on Thursday. That's a situation to keep an eye on because Wilson Contreras is the Red Sox best hitter right now. And so if he's going to be out, that makes us feel a little bit better about using these starting pitchers or these pitchers. McClain, you're definitely starting. Freddie Peralta, I would still probably start against this Red Sox offense. Kodai Senga, I can't trust right now. And so I would not start him unless we get to Sunday and the Red Sox are like, without Wilson Contreras and they bench Willy Abreu and they, you know, they have like a C lineup in there and then maybe I could see it, but I would try not to. The Phillies three at Detroit. It's Aaron Nola, Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler. Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, auto starts. You're not even thinking about it. Aaron Nola, listen, we've talked about this a whole bunch as well. No, I probably wouldn't start him against Detroit, but yes, I keep looking at the strikeout numbers and the swing and miss numbers. And I think there have to be better days ahead. And so, you know, in a deep 15-team league, I don't know that I'm cutting him yet. And maybe you do need to start him in those deeper formats and only stuff like that. So I'm not ready to abandon all hope with Aaron Nola, but I would prefer not to start him if I didn't have to this weekend. Washington gets three at home against the Yankees. It's Zach Littell, Miles Michaelis, Cade Cavalli. Littell and Michaelis, you're not starting against the Yankees. Cade Cavalli should come off his suspension in time to make this start. I talked about this in a tweet, and Nick and I believe talked about this the last time. Actually, we didn't because this start happened after we recorded. But when he was rushed to start on Sunday against the Pirates because they knew he was going to be serving the suspension, everybody made a big deal about his velocity was down. His velocity was down almost two ticks. But that's not really the case. His velocity was down like 0.7 miles per hour, 0.6 miles per hour from his season average. His velocity was just down 1.7 miles per hour from his previous start because he had had a really big boost in four-seam fastball velocity in that start against the Red Sox. So I would not make too much about his velocity being down. However, his velocity being up against the Red Sox was something that Nick and I thought was really important, because the four-seam fastball wasn't really missing bats before. It wasn't really a great second offering to that curveball. And so the added velocity on the four-seam fastball was important. Now, did he lose that totally, or was that just, hey, that day was really hot and humid and he was started on short rest, and who knows when he knew he was going to be starting that game, and all of those things factor into it. And so I don't know that it was just like, hey, a one game blip for Cavalli against Boston and then he's hurt or things don't look good. I still would be holding Cade Cavalli. I'd be adding him if somebody dropped him. I would just try not to start him against the Yankees if I was in a 12 team league. Moving on to the Cubs, they get three at Cincinnati. It's Shota Imanaga, Javier Assad, Matthew Boyd. I think you're going to start Imanaga and Boyd. Imanaga has the home run concerns. It's at Cincinnati. It's a bit of a problem, but he's doing a lot better at elevating the four-seam fastball out of the zone and not just at the top of the zone. And so that has limited some of the home runs in recent starts, and I think is a good path going forward. And the Cincinnati offense really struggles against elevated four-seam fastballs, as Nick has pointed out a few times on this show. And so I think that you could get away with Imanaga. And Matthew Boyd has looked pretty good in the last couple of starts. I've added him in a few places where he was dropped. And so I think you could trust Matthew Boyd in this one against Cincinnati as well. I would not be trusting Javier Assad. The Reds, three against the Cubs. It's Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, Andrew Abbott. We're back in on Hunter Green. I don't know that we were ever out on Hunter Green, but I know there were people that were concerned about Hunter Green's first performance off the injured list. And, you know, we haven't seen him make another start, but, you know, Nick pointed out the whole thing, right, in his SP roundup. Let's see, 70% strikes, 39% swinging strike rate on the slider, and that's really important for Hunter Green. The four-seamer had its 99-mile-an-hour velocity, but he didn't get a lot of whiffs with it because he was missing in the middle of the zone. You know, four-seam fastball command is something that's going to improve for Green as the starts go on, but he looked healthy. The slider was thrown for strikes. I think those were important things, and so I think you're running Hunter Green back out here. And then Nick Lodolo, you know, sure, we don't know really what we're going to get start to start with Lodolo, but we know that he is a strong pitcher with the potential to miss bats. I don't know that I would be trusting Andrew Abbott against this Cubs team, but I don't ever trust Andrew Abbott, and he still has strong stretches of production. And so if you wanted to roll those dice, I get it. It's something I would try to avoid doing unless I was in a 15-team league. The Brewers get three at the Pirates. It's Brandon Sproat, Shane Drohan, Jacob Mizorowski. You don't have me to tell you to start Jacob Mizorowski. Drohan and Sproat are a little bit of a different story because Pittsburgh has been a really good offense, and Pittsburgh is a really good offense at home. As we're watching this game against the Braves right now today, the ball is flying a little bit in Pittsburgh. And so that's an offense I would like to avoid. I should note that overall on the season, they are actually far better against righties than against lefties. If we sort by WRC plus on the season against left-handed pitchers, the Pirates are 24th in WRC plus against lefties. They have scored they still scored the 13th most runs against lefties. Their OPS against lefties is 21st. And their ISO against lefties, if you're looking for kind of raw power numbers, their ISO against lefties is 22nd. So the Pirates are not a great offense against lefties, just so we can, you know, keep that in perspective. Their OPS against righties, they're second in baseball. Their weighted runs created plus against righties, they're second in baseball on the season behind the Dodgers. Runs against righties, they're third in baseball. Batting average, you know, whatever, they're second in baseball. So I would probably be sitting Brandon Sproat in this one, and I would lean towards starting Shane Drohan again in maybe like a deeper 12 or a 15 team league. I'd prefer Drohan over Sproat because of that, but I'm not dropping Sproat. I think there've been some intriguing enough developments with his pitch mix that I would like to hold onto him. We should note for Friday, Kyle Harrison mentioning that he's been pitching through, or he has an elbow issue and he's pitching through that. It doesn't make me feel good. It also doesn't make me feel good that he has an over six ERA in his last six starts. And now we also have a potential injury to go along with the declining production. That's a little bit concerning. And he's a very narrow pitch mix guy. He only throws three pitches. And so if he has an elbow injury that's impacting his command or the precision of his command on those pitches, that could be why we're seeing that decline in production. And so I'm a little bit concerned about Kyle Harrison. We should have mentioned earlier, Connor Prelip went to the IL with a blister issue. He had retired 9 of the first 10 batters he faced, and then he said his blister popped and started bleeding in the fourth inning. Oh, and lo and behold, Connor Prelip allows back-to-back home runs and all 3 runs in the fourth inning with a bloody finger. So I'm not concerned about Connor Prelip when he does come back, as long as the blister issue is remedied. I think Prelip will be somebody that I'd still be trying to add, but he is going to go on the IL for now. Pittsburgh. 3 against Milwaukee, Braxton Ashcraft, Bubba Chandler, Paul Skeens. I think you're starting Braxton Ashcraft and Paul Skeens because they've been pitching really well. I would still not be starting Bubba Chandler. I just don't think we've seen enough from Bubba Chandler that suggests that he's turned any sort of corner this season. That doesn't mean he's not going to be good going forward, but yeah, that's tough. The Cardinals, 3 against Atlanta, Kyle Leahy, Matthew Liberatore, and Dustin May. You're not starting Kyle Leahy or Matthew Liberatore against the Braves. If you want to start Dustin May, he looked better in his last start. We knew that he was going to be on a little bit of a pitch count after taking that comebacker in the previous start. But overall, he looked pretty good. He went, I think it was 4 2/3 shutout, 7 strikeouts, just 4 hits allowed. And so, you know, and it's a good Brewers offense. You know, they don't have the power of the Braves offense, but the Braves offense has not been playing, you know, great of late. They're not as hitting as well as they were before, obviously with Acuna out and Drake Baldwin struggling or not producing like he did earlier in the season. But Dustin May looked kind of as good as he looked in his hot stretch, threw every single sinker for a strike, threw 73% of his sweepers for strikes. No whiffs on that, which isn't great, but he got a lot of strikes and he located it well. And so, you know, I could see in a deeper format rolling Dustin May out there against the Braves. I'd feel a little bit cautious in a 12-team league, but in a 15, I would for sure do it. Arizona gets 3 at the Dodgers. It's Eduardo Rodriguez, Brandon Fott, Zach Gallen. It's the Dodgers. You're not starting any of these guys. I put a tweet out about Brandon Fott after his good start at the beginning of this week. And I said, I looked into this to see if anything was different. And I just don't really see anything different in what Brandon Fott is doing after coming up from AAA that suggests that he's a different pitcher or a changed pitcher. I think the Padres are not a particularly great offense. And he got the best of them in the last one. And I would not be running to believe in Brandon Fott. The Rockies have 3 against the Giants. You're not really starting Rockies pitchers. We're just not going to trust it. The Dodgers get 3 against Arizona. It's Shohei Ohtani, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, Emmett Sheehan. I think you're starting all 3. We've mentioned Sheehan as a buy low candidate, a bounce back candidate, a second half breakthrough candidate, whatever you want to call it. But I think Sheehan is in for a better second half than he had the first half, and I could trust him against Arizona. You're obviously trusting Ohtani and Yamamoto. The Padres, it's 3 against Toronto, but it's J.P. Sears, Walker Buehler, Herman Marquez. It's not 2019, and so you're just not going to start any of those guys against Toronto. The Giants, it's 3 against Colorado at home. Robbie Ray, Tyler Mahle, Trevor McDonald. Robbie Ray is frustrating. I know it's impossible to know what you're going to get from him. And so me telling you should start Robbie Ray is not like, hey, Robbie Ray is going to have a slam dunk performance. But it's the Rockies. It's in San Francisco. He's a lefty, so some of their left-handed bats are going to be less potent. And that makes me a little – I would roll the dice. I would roll the dice in probably all formats. A little bit less enthusiastic about Trevor McDonald because, again, the Rockies have guys like Mickey Moniak and like Troy Johnston and like TJ Rumfeld who are going to be a little bit better against a right-handed pitcher like Trevor McDonald who's all sinker sweeper. And so in a 15-team league, I could see using Trevor McDonald because it's the Rockies and the Rockies are on the road. And so, you know, I think it's a weak spot that you could take advantage of, but it's not a spot that I'm running to use in like a 12-team format. And Tyler Mahle, like, again, if you're in a really deep 15-team league and you're just hoping you get a win here, again, it's the Giants, so you're not even necessarily going to get a win, but you're hoping you could take advantage of the Rockies on the road. I can understand it, I guess. It's not something I'm really enthusiastic about. And so I'd prefer not to use Tyler Mahle in that one. Carson Wisenhunt is starting on Thursday. We have not seen that start, but, you know, maybe he pushes his way into the rotation conversation. Logan Henderson, I should mention, also starting on Thursday. Have not seen that at the time of this recording, but Logan Henderson is somebody who could push their way into the rotation or his way into the rotation or take a spot from Kyle Harrison if Kyle Harrison winds up on the IL. So that is something to consider. And that's going to do it for us or for me for this episode of On the Corner. This was a short one, a quick one. Nick is getting up some of his SP roundups. So if you want to look at those SP roundups, please make sure you do over the weekend. We know you know that there's going to be the starting pitcher streaming article. So if you get into it this weekend and you just want a question of who do I stream on Saturday? Who do I stream on Sunday? And you do want Nick's insight and not just my insight, even though we were looking at Nick's start sit chart here together. Make sure you check out those articles and you could get the updated, you know, a list of that. I should also note, because even though I record this podcast with Nick, I forgot and was unaware and didn't know, whatever you, however you want to phrase it, but the articles can come to you in your email inbox in the form of a newsletter. And so you can sign up for that over on the Pitcher List website. Getting that, that morning SP roundup or whenever it comes out, the SP roundup in your inbox is a really nice way of, like, sometimes I just forget to go and check in the morning, but it's really nice to get it in my email and then say, oh, right. And then I just sit down and I read it with coffee or, you know, when I'm taking a break in the afternoon or wherever it is. So you can make sure you can sign up for those sort of things and that would be relevant to you. And that's going to do it. I'm going to be at the All-Star game this weekend. So hopefully we'll have some interesting stuff coming out. Talk to some of the guys who are down there for the All-Star game. I'm hoping to get an interview with both Ryan Sloat and Kane Anderson of the Mariners at the Futures game. So, you know, I'll share my thoughts on that, but that could be something exciting as well. Seth Hernandez at the Futures game. I'm excited to watch that. So we'll check that out. And Nick and I are going to be back at some point next week. It might be on Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. We'll try to let you know, but we'll have an article. Or sorry, we'll have a podcast out before games start on Friday again, so we can help with any sort of roster decisions that you have. So for that, I am Eric Smolski, the Pelican, and I'm going to go check on our fearless leader and see how he's recovering from that tennis injury.